Father God, we thank you for your grace this morning. It is so good that it is there every single day for us. And I don't know about all of you, but I need it. And I'm thankful for it. And it brings a smile to my face. We ask you for your continued mercy, which you promise you will give us. And that I need too. And I thank you for it. And that too brings a smile to my face. Father God, we just welcome you here, Holy Spirit. We ask that you get to us all that you want to get to us today. That we may have what we need to live our lives the way that you would have them live. We thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. A thought came to me as to how I was going to open today while I was sitting there during the last song. And it's different than I've ever opened any service that I've ever done. And that is by saying, hopefully y'all love me and can tolerate me today. How would I put this? One of the main things that God had me do when I was in Sri Lanka this trip was to correct the church. And I will tell you that it wasn't my plan when I went there. I like having a plan where I get to bring the cake and ice cream. Because everyone then loves you and wants everything that you've got for them. And God had a different plan. But now what I will say is this. That when I was done, I got to spend some time sitting on the last night with Pastor Pradeep and his wife Jeevani, and we talked about the trip and some other things. And one of the things I mentioned to them was about, you know, how much correction I'd given to the churches during this trip. And they're like, we hadn't noticed. Now, this wasn't a bad thing, because what it was I taught them what it should look like to do it God's way, and they just took it as a teaching. Not that they were being shown, you know, you aren't doing it the right way. This is the right way. So it was received very well, because I do believe in my heart that I shared it well. It was all done in love. Once again, I didn't go there with an agenda, and I would have rather shared something else. But it all turned out awesome. And part of what I shared there, the reason why God's having me open this way is, I will say I've been going to Sri Lanka since 2018. And God showed me some things in the spirit, not in the natural, literally from 2018 on. And he showed me some things so that I could be praying about them for the people in Sri Lanka. But until this trip, he hadn't had me share anything about it with them. And what I saw was some, what I call incongruencies. And one of them was that they have learned. And I will say it's learned, because what I found was it starts with the oldest people and then the middle-aged people and down now that even, I'll say, 12-year-olds have learned to, when they give thanks to God. See, when I give thanks to God, I'm being thankful for what he did for me. I can't do it without smiling. Absolutely. It's literally impossible for me. So I may irritate you a little bit because I'm thankful this morning, and all you're going to do is see me smiling, okay? Because I'm thankful for all that God did to me. So when I sing Thanksgiving songs to God, sorry, I'm going to be smiling. But literally there, they have been trained to not just have no expression at all. They've been trained to put what I call stink faces on. They look like, no, seriously, they praise and worship and give thanks like this. I mean, like, and I'm going, there's something off here. And so one of the things God had me share with them was, and this is how he had me do it, quite comical, but true. I said to the entire church, and I did this in more than one place, probably 10 different churches. I said, during your praise and worship, if a non-believer walked through the back door and he took a look at all your faces, he would probably go, something's died in here. I need to get out of here quick because it really must stink. And all I will say is they got it, okay? And they received it unbelievably well. So I was so glad to come back here today. I looked at a few faces, and I saw Phil, and I saw a couple others, and they didn't have stink faces on. So it made me feel really good that I looked out, Randy, I could look up and see Randy. There was no stink faces. That was nice that I came back to that. So I'm glad to be back to see that. It's something, how would I put it? I even talked about it with Pastor Pradeep. It may take a little bit longer for the adults to get out of this because they've been doing it for like 40 years. You know, it's like it's almost ingrained on their faces. This is how you do it. So I said, watch the youth. They haven't been doing this long. It'll break off of them quicker. We'll teach them now, and then they can show you how to do it. Okay. And so literally I talked to Pastor Pradeep before the last service, the third Sunday in his church, and I said I'd want all of the ones from 12 years and older out into the service because they would go back up until they were like 18 back into a separate service during church. Because I said, I want the youth to hear this so they can teach the adults how not to look like that anymore. So I gave them that task. But once again, I can't wipe the smile off my face when I'm giving thanks to God. I mean, if someone were to come up to you and hand you $100 and say, take your wife or your husband out to dinner, would you go, thank you very much? No, there'd be a smile on your face. You would be thankful. So what I'm saying is let your face know what you're actually feeling so that the world can see it. You know, it talks about letting your light shine. This doesn't make your light shine. That's all I'm saying, okay? So hopefully you can put up with me this morning because I'm going to be smiling the whole time because I'm very thankful. So I will tell you this is partly, once again, it wasn't condemning them. It was something I will tell you almost they don't even recognize they're doing it, okay? It's just what they do because everyone does it. And that's not a reason to do anything. How many of you know that? Okay? In fact, I heard a few statements that go on, well, this is what our culture does. And I would respond, yeah, but what does God say? That's usually where I leave it and let people think about it because your culture shouldn't determine how you're behaving and acting, okay? And so I actually did a lot of that during this trip where, let's put it this way, the world has crept into the church. And God was having me show them where the world had crept into the church in Sri Lanka and what God had to say about that from his word. And I would say, I didn't write this. Don't stone the messenger. I'm just sharing, this is what God says about it. And so take it to God if you have an issue. I'm hoping that none of you do with me mentioning the stink faces. I wasn't speaking to anyone in particular. All I'm saying is I was grateful to see some like Sam and others just not having that. It felt so good to be welcomed home that way. There was actually one other thing that really kind of got me in the spirit, and this one I haven't addressed yet, and that is when they greet you, most of these people come out of the background, even in the Christian churches that I'm speaking in, their background, they're either, their nationality is either Sinhalese or Tamil. 70% of Sri Lanka is what's known as Sinhalese, and about 13% is Tamil. And then there's some Muslim and some others, about 10% Muslim and some others. Out of those 70% that are Sinhalese, roughly 75% of those are practice the religion of Buddhism. Okay? So most of them, of the Sinhalese, are Buddhists. In contrast, the 13% who are Tamil, they practice Hinduism. In both of these religions, they have certain things that are ingrained in them, and it becomes part of their culture, part of what they do. One of them is, even when they greet you in church, especially if you're someone who's going to speak in front of them, and they've heard you teach before, is they greet you with their hands in front of them in prayer, and they bow their heads like this. And they really don't say anything, but they kind of bow like this, and that's how they greet you. Now, all I can say is that makes me feel uncomfortable, okay? Because what I have sensed in my spirit is they're actually placing me up on a pedestal. This is what I'm getting in the spirit. And that because that's what they do to all their monks and their priests and the different things is they're considered a different level above them. Okay, and I'm not there to be in some level above the people I'm talking to. I'm their brother and sister in Christ. And so I don't want to be put on a pedestal. In fact, one of the things that God impressed upon me, I was sharing this with Randy before the service, it's something I do before every trip. It's something that goes through my mind and I think about. I don't have to concentrate on it because it's really my heart. And that is, one of my goals, one of my prayers, I wouldn't even put it as a goal, one of my prayers before each trip I go on is that once I've left wherever it is I've been, that they don't even remember my name. All they remember is the fact, you know that guy that came and talked to us, God was with him. That's all I want them to remember, is that God was there and God had something for them. I don't want them to remember me at all. I want all that comes through me to go to the glory of God, and that they hear it like this is God speaking to them, because all I'm doing is sharing his word. It's not me at all. So I don't want them remembering me. I can tell you that one of the things we did early on, and Pastor Pradeep did back me in this and shared it with the people, most of them would call me pastor, and I explain, Pastor Pradeep, I've never been a pastor. I don't pastor a church, so I'm not a pastor. So please share with the people, I'm just a minister of the gospel, and I'm not a pastor, so they shouldn't address me that way. And he did. The people, about half of them got that. Half of them are still addressing me as pastor. We'll let that go for now. But all I can say is they have to me, what I discern in the spirit is an unhealthy respect for those who are coming to share. And not only those who are coming to share, but even the pastors who are there. And God has just put it on my heart to not let that happen, at least with me. I can't control how anyone else deals with that. It's not my place. But it is my place to make sure that I don't allow them to give me any of the glory. Because I can actually stop that. If I allow them to do that, I'm actually wrong. Okay? I mean, I can myself go, okay, I don't want any of the glory, but I can also have it so that they're not doing it wrong. Because, see, they shouldn't be giving me glory either. And so I can address that. All I can say is, to this point in time, that one hasn't been addressed with the people. I just thought I'd share it with you. Because when I go there, unlike any other place I go, he shows me things more so of what's going on in the spirit than anywhere else I go. And I've been seeing it for the last 6 or 7 years. And this time he said, okay, now talk to him about it. Talk to him about what I've shown you. And so that's much of what my time was. In fact, I won't have you go there, but those of you who take notes, you can write it down. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. It talks about the very fact that we shouldn't allow people to put us on a pedestal, although in 1 Timothy 5:17, it does say that we are to show honor to church leaders. So it's not wrong in that way. It's when you actually start glorifying the man, okay? That cannot be done and should not be done. Giving honor to someone is good. All I can say is God has showed me that in the spirit, there it goes too far, but it's partially because of what they come out of. Because there, the monks and the priests expect you to glorify them. That's just the way it is. They want everyone looking to them for everything. They're part of the problem because of what they've come out of. All of us have come out of something, and those there can be strongholds there that God has to deal with in each one of us as to how to bring us out of what we've been in the past. Those sometimes break down very quickly, sometimes they take some time. There, they've been living in this, and their whole society around them is still there. Ballpark there, 70% of the nation is Buddhist, 13% is Hindu, 10% is Muslim. That leaves 7% that would be considered Christian, and of those, roughly 5% is Catholic. So that would leave us with about 2% that might believe somewhat like we do. Okay, so it's a very small percentage. So in the world that they are living in, this is normal, and this is how they live, and that's all they see around them. So it can be a little hard to come out of when that's all there is around you. So I would ask that you be praying for them, that God shows them. Once again, I'm not the Holy Spirit. It's not up to me to convict them. The things I'm sharing with them, I'm sharing out of love because I want them to get it. To not be tied down by their past and what's held them down and tied them up and allowed them no freedom. There, I taught at every church I went to, There was, I think, 11 different churches. I spoke 16 times in 14 days, which included 11 different churches. At each church, I taught on peace because that's what God directed me to teach on. Why? Because they have none. They don't know peace in the church at all. And God's already told me when I go back next year, I'm supposed to teach on joy. Why? I think they have less joy than they have peace. Once again, just in the spirit, not discerning or looking at anything in the natural. It's what God has showed me. I can tell you that the teachings were very greatly accepted and appreciated. And a lot of them really got it. God got to them, showed them some things that they needed to see. And so I thank God and the Holy Spirit for giving them some revelation that they didn't have before, so that they could see that this peace, I taught on peace here a while back, and I think most of you heard it, is already in you. When you're born again, it's there. The key is, and the way I shared it there, the same way I did here, you know that childproof bottle with that lid on that's hard to get off? Sometimes it takes a little work to get that off. And they need to get that cap off from there to let out what's already on the inside of them. And they got that. So my prayer is that they're now going to start walking in the peace that they already have inside of them, because they are saved. And they do have peace. They know it now. And all now they know they should let it out. Don't keep it inside and go up to someone and say, "I have peace." Really? You shouldn't have to say that. If you're in peace, people will know it without you telling them, especially if you do it like that. Who are you to tell me I'm not in peace? So all I could say. So these are some things that God had me do, and it was so different. I've never done this anywhere. And yet it was also so good because of how God had me do it and how it was received. One of the other things that he had me do there was address another correction. And it's from a passage that all of you know, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It says there, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, I can tell you, have I seen in the U.S., churches I've been in, places where the church sits there and thinks, "Why isn't the church doing very well? Pastor, you need to get to work." I'm serious. I'm not speaking about this church. I'm just saying it happens. All I can tell you is there, that's pretty much the mindset of everybody, that it's really the pastor's job to do all the work. They're to come and listen to them. And pastor, if there's problems and the church isn't growing or something's going on, you really need to get to work. What's going on here? So God had me correct, not pastors, but, well, in a way, because I will say many of them hadn't seen clearly what this scripture meant was, and it's notice that it goes from the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the equipping of the saints, going, that's the fivefold ministry's job. So the fivefold ministry has a job too, to equip the saints. When I went to the churches, what I had them do was, I go, how many people are born again in here? Raise your hand. Most all of them raise their hand. I go, so you're all saints, right? Then I said, now use your other hand and point right here. And they all did. And then I said, now read the next line. This is your job for the work of ministry. And then it got quiet. But they got it. See, it's actually the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher is to equip the saints for the work. That means the saints are to be doing the work, right? Okay? So that once again, this was another thing that God had me share on there, is that you don't come to church to sit there and go, yeah, that was a good message, pastor. Now get to work. You know, no, it's actually the other way around. And why is it done that way? It says for the building up of the church. If you want to see the church grow the way that it's supposed to go and be the church that God wants to see, it means that the church, the saints, need to be doing the work. So this was another area he had me talk to them about. And once again, it was amazing. He gave me a way to share it in such a way that it was all very well received. I wonder here if I went to churches and shared the same way, how it would be received. Here I figure, okay, y'all know me, and you know you have to love me because that's what the Bible says. So I think I'm okay. But if I went to some place where they didn't know me, they might not receive that so well. But I can tell you there, it was very well received, which I was thankful for. None of them stoned me. They did invite me back. In fact, at the end of the time there, Pastor Pradeep and Jeevani go, we want you to come 3 or 4 weeks next year. I was there on the ground for like 16 days because I had the travel days. We want you here another week next year. And I go, well, they must have liked it and thought it was okay, or they wouldn't be wanting me back and saying you need to stay longer. So I took that as a positive anyhow. One of the parts of that was the work of ministry, and that the saints should be doing something rather than just sitting in the chairs. God gave me something specific for them to do. And he even showed me why he wanted me to have them do this. And it was so they could take what they learned in the church and take it outside of the church doors to the world. Okay? Now, we all know there's places in the Bible where you get healing from prayer. You can pray and the sick will be healed. We know that you can call for the elders, be anointed, and be healed. You know that healing can come even while you're taking the communion because of what Christ provided on the cross and going to the cross. But there's a passage, Mark 16, 17, and 18. It begins with this, and I had them do the same thing again. And these signs will follow all those who believe. I said, how many believers do we have in here? They raised their hands. And then I had them take the other hand and point to themselves. And I go, now let's read the end of verse 18. It says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's your job. In other words, that's for the church to do. It doesn't say pastors, prophets, you need to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It's for all believers. If you are a believer, that's your job, okay? And so I shared this with him. And we had them practice right in church. Because what God showed me is, if they're not willing to do it here, they're not going to do it out there when they leave the doors. So we took time at the end of the service, each of the services where I taught this on, this was included. I would teach on peace, then I would include this part. And we had everyone who had any sickness, disease, or pain stand up. And then we said, okay, all the rest of you had your hands up saying you were a believer and were pointing at yourselves saying, this is our job. Now go find someone and lay hands on them. Now, we did have to do some extra teaching, even in this, because there they believe the longer the prayer, the better it is. That's all I will say. So when you go to pray for someone, it's at least 10 minutes long. Now, I'm not eavesdropping on their prayers, but another thing we taught on, a full separate teaching was, don't pray the problem, pray God's solution. And often God's solution doesn't take very long at all. So if you're praying that, it won't take too long, really. God shows you, this is what my will looks like, and pray that. That doesn't take long at all. All you have to do is know what it is. You need to go to God first and go, okay, God, how should I pray here? What do you want this end to look like? And pray that end. So what God impressed upon me was to, even those that went and started praying, we actually stopped them and said, doesn't say pray here. There are places where you pray. Here, we're laying hands on the sick and believing that they'll recover. So after a couple times through this, they started getting the hang of this. And they did it. And then at the end of the service, Pastor Pradeep then asked, okay, how many people were healed right now? Come up and testify. And there were many. And it was awesome to hear the testimonies of those who were instantaneously healed by their brothers and sisters in Christ who are believers, just laying hands on them, because that's what the Word of God says, because it doesn't say they might be healed, it says, and they will be healed. And they were. And for them, it was kind of a revelation, oh, the pastor doesn't have to pray for me to get healed. Because there, once again, I told you, everything is the job of the pastor. At every service at the end, there's 20 people that want prayed for healing, and maybe another 10 or 15 that just want blessed for some reason. And everything is to the pastor. And All I can say is God was having me say, you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ can do this. Be a family and pray for one another right in the church. It doesn't have to come from the pastor, okay? I think the pastor should like this because then it doesn't have to all come from them. They can be busy doing part of the other part, equipping those that are supposed to be doing it, right? Because that's their job, remember? If all they're doing is doing the work, do they have time to do the training that they're supposed to do? No. Okay? So God was just showing me all this to share this for the pastor's benefit and for the benefit of the church. So once again, did I go with this idea in mind? No, but it's what God had me do. And it worked out very well. So now this comes to the part that I liked the most about the trip. Do I love seeing people healed? Yes. But to me, there's a greater miracle than that. And that is watching someone who was dead come to life. That's, to me, the greatest miracle there is. To have someone who was dead in sin, and now they're a new creation, born again, and are going to live eternally. That's, once again, do we need to be alive to have that happen? Yes, so we do need to stay alive. But ultimately, the most important thing is that we have eternal life through his free gift. And what God has done for me over time is supernaturally, because I have arranged none of this. I've shared this, I think, a couple times before. I have not arranged any of the places that I go to. God's arranged them. He's connected me with certain people. And what I found is he connects me with a certain type of person. Okay? Wherever I go, he connects me with evangelists. Now, most of you know and hear me address Pastor Pradeep as Pastor Pradeep because he does pastor a church. But I will tell you, he is first and foremost an evangelist. Okay? That's what he is. Those of you who know him well, who've been with him, traveled, he's an evangelist. Through and through. That's what God made him. He just happens to be pastoring a church. Okay? And Steve and Donna Marabella, they may not call themselves evangelists, but when you can walk into a tribe and just say Jesus and everyone gets saved, you're an evangelist. Okay? That's just what they do because God's anointed them to do that. Okay? So everyone that he's hooked me up with is an evangelist. And they all see the connection because part of what Matthew 28, 19, and 20 says is go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. So the first part is they need to be saved first. They do that, and then they have me come along and follow after. And I teach them what a disciple looks like. And that is, okay, what just happened to me? What has God given me? And because of that, what's my next step? What does it look like to truly follow God the way he would want me to follow him? Because when you're first born again, you know none of that. So that's really what he's given me to do when I go to most of these places. He hooks me up with the evangelist, and then I share what the people need to hear after they're born again. And they see the connection. They talk to me about it. It's so good to have you come and follow up what we've done. And I just get to watch them going, this is really cool watching you guys. I mean, it just amazes me how they can just go in and say Jesus and everyone gets saved. I'm like, and I've talked to them about it. And they go, well, anyone can do that. I'm like, yeah, but. You got to realize, I think when you're the one that does it, you may not realize it, but they have an unbelievable anointing on them, all of them, so that because of what God has had them do and the fact that they are doing it, being obedient, that he gives them a special anointing. So it does work this way. But this trip was quite different for me in that I got to play the evangelist more so than on any other trip in my life. After, I even told them in advance, I go, how many of you have sat under pastors who learned very well from the Apostle Paul? And they didn't understand, so I explained. I go, how many of you have read the book of Philippians? Most of them had. I said, did you notice that, like around the beginning of chapter 3, which is would be the halfway point of the book, he says, finally, brother, like he's closing now? And then he writes the other half of the book, the letter. I'm going, so I think many pastors have learned from the Apostle Paul, jokingly. So I said, I'm going to warn you ahead of time. I'm going to have two closings. And the first was what we talked about here, the laying on of hands. I taught on it. We went through it. We had them do it. The second closing was actually a salvation message. Just a short one, about 10 minutes long, and you've heard it here. What God had me share was the story of George Wilson, the man who robbed the federal U.S. mail back in the 1830s, and he was sentenced to death by hanging because he killed a federal employee while robbing the federal mail. And no one could figure out why, but when the president, actually President Andrew Jackson, gave him a pardon, he said, no, I don't want it. So no one knew what to do. And so the case went to the U.S. Supreme Court. And whenever the U.S. Supreme Court makes a ruling, they actually come out in writing and saying, here's why we decided what we did. And Chief Justice Marshall at the time penned this. I don't have it word for word, but the idea of what he said was, is that a pardon, the only value in a pardon is based upon the acceptance of the one who is to receive it. If it's not received, then it's worth nothing. Therefore, he must be hanged. I shared that and then said, it's my prayer that no one here rejects the pardon that Jesus has given to you for all your sins. That you don't choose to accept eternal death, separation from God. But rather you accept the free gift, accept God's pardon for all of your sins. And then I asked, I go, okay, so how many of you want to receive the free gift? And I think Donna put it in the bulletin. I haven't read the bulletins yet. She handed them to me. But I was able to communicate this time more than others because of another situation that went on. That the first Monday night we went out, we were up in the mountains in kind of the north central area. And there we were speaking to the Sinhalese who would have been the Buddhists in their background. But we have a church there. And we went in and there was like 25 people in this teaching. Just a small mountain. We're up in the mountains. There's like 25 people there. It's up in amongst the tea plantations. And when I give this invitation, I'm thinking, okay, there's this little mountain church. And these people have shown up on a weeknight, you know, a Monday night. These are usually the believers, right? I mean, if you're showing up on a non-church day, you know, in the middle of the week or sometime during the night, that you're probably believers. Well, I asked this, and out of 25, 11 of them stood up, and they came forward, and what God had me do, and I first cleared it with Pastor Pradeep, said, I want the pastor to pray for them because he's going to be the pastor of them now. Pray and lead them in the prayer to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they all did. So now the pastor has work to do, right? Now he's going to train them up to be disciples in his church. But to me, that's as exciting as it gets. Okay, 11 out of 25 people who had been sitting in church are now saved. Same thing happened. Remember I told you there's the Sinhalese Buddhist and there's pretty much the Tamil Hindus. We went to the East Coast the following Monday. There were several churches in between, but went to another church the following Monday and there was roughly 30 people there. And went through the same thing, same story, and at the end of that, 13 people raised their hand. Came up, had the pastor lead them in the prayer, and they all got saved. So I know at least 27 people got saved in the 14 days I was there, and probably more, okay? It was an amazing time for me because I got to be a part of that, which I like. I see everyone else doing it, and I like it, so God let me be a part of that this time. So it was actually a lot of fun for me. I didn't get left out of that part. Not that I have to have it, but I find as much joy in that. Not that I have to be a part. I don't care who's doing it as long as they get saved. But this time he allowed me to be part of that. And it was a lot of fun. Now, what we did do is also at the end we talked to them. None of this was a surprise. So we took them all to Mark 16:20 right after verses 17 and 18. And it says, and they went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. So the signs, they were healed. Many got saved. They had heard the word. There was faith there. When the invitation came, they received either healing or salvation. And so once again, it just confirms that what God says in his word actually works when you do it. If you do what he says, it works. You don't have to wonder, will it work or won't it? He stands behind his word, and I get to go there and watch him do it. That's part of when people ask me that don't know what I do, I have a standard response. I go, they say, what are you going to do when you go on this trip? And I go, I'm just going to watch and see what God's going to do. And that's what I do on every trip. I I just get to stand back in awe and watch God move wherever I go. And it's so much fun. So for any of you that ever want to go on a trip, all you got to do is see me. You'll have the time of your life watching God do what he'll do. Okay? It is a lot of fun. So to me, I'm going to close with this, and there'll just be this one closing, I promise. They actually saw a lot of humor in that, so I'm guessing Pradeep has closed more than once before. I got many laughs in his church is all I will say. So my closing here, I want you all to go to, if you have, let's put it this way, if you have phones where you can look up a specific version, everything I quote to you, as you know, I've shared before, always comes from the New King James, because that's where I've learned all my verses from. However, those of you who can pull it up in a different format on your phones, or if you happen to have this version of the Bible, I want you to pull this up in the Amplified, because that's what I'm going to read it to you from. And it's the passage of Philippians chapter 4 and verses 15 to 17. Give you a second to get there, and then I want to read it. So this is the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to the church at Philippi. And he says, "In you, Philippians, know that in the early days of preaching the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I do seek the profit, which increases to your heavenly account the blessing which is accumulating for you." And this is what I wanted to close with. That's what I see each one of you doing who stay behind here. I so greatly appreciate the giving, because though the gospel of Jesus Christ is free, there is a cost to get it to the people. And so I appreciate the fact that you guys enabled me to go and do what God wants me to do, so that all these things you just heard about actually happen. That people get saved, people get healed. God does it all, but he sends me there and uses me. And that wouldn't happen without all of you doing your part, both in giving and in prayer. I can tell you, I know people are praying for me when I'm there. I see it as we walk through things. One of the things that typically happens is, well, as you know, even here, Satan likes to put up walls so that what needs to be shared with the people gets blocked. And so this is actually something, maybe an exhortation or encouragement for you even going forward. One way specifically to pray, if you haven't prayed this way, whenever I go out, pray that all the walls that Satan tries to put up are torn down, so that what God wants to get through me to them gets to them, because Satan doesn't want that to happen. And in the spirit, we can actually see it, but I can also see them coming down. You can actually tell that, hey, the people are getting it. The wall has been broken down here. There were walls, and you could see it, and the walls are broken down. So that's just an encouragement for you that they are broken down. So pray that way going forward. But what I want you to know is, just like the church at Philippi, because they gave into Paul's ministry, he says that they, listen to these words, that there is a profit which increases to your heavenly account the blessing which is accumulating for you. The same thing is happening for each one of you. There is an eternal account that is increasing for you as you do this. And it's good for you to know that, but it blesses me to know, even here on earth, it's helping me do what God has me to do. So I'm very appreciative, and God will ultimately reward you as much. Who knows? I don't measure it out. Maybe more than even I who is going to do it. I so much appreciate you and all that you do for me as I go. And I just want to close in prayer before turning it over to Paul for the announcements. Father God, we just thank you for all that you did during this trip. And we give you all of the glory, 100%. It goes to no man. We don't want that at all. To you, all the glory goes. We thank you for all those who were healed that you healed, for all those who were saved, who you saved. We bless your holy name. We thank you, Father God. We are looking forward to all that you're going to do here in the U.S. This just doesn't have to happen overseas. Use us here to do the same things here, to see the same results here, all for your glory. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Guide us, lead us, teach us to know you more and to do your will even better than we have before. In Jesus' precious name, amen.